Hey everybody, this is Heather, and you're listening to Simply Healed with Heather Leonard. Today's episode is called Wanting Control. And on top of today's discussion around control, I also want to discuss the solar eclipse. So there's going to be another section in today's episode all about this amazing solar eclipse. That's why I'm dropping it on a Monday instead of my usual Wednesday, just so I could be in the perfect timing with what's going on in the stars. And let's get into what that could offer for you guys. I can't wait. Here we go. So first, let's start with this control element, because I know there's a lot of us that struggle with releasing control and wanting to hang on to our own sense of control around situations. Something I want to offer on this topic is that pain will always find the exit. So you can deny it the path, but it's always going to find a new one out. Does that make sense? You know, a lot of us, well, let me just speak to my grief community for a moment. Many non-criers out there, people that say, like, I lost my person and I was so devastated, but I still haven't cried since then, since that loss. I know I definitely have cried, but if we're talking about ratios of like love to tears released, there's just no comparison. You know what I mean? This isn't, you know, there's no balanced scale around this. You know, the more you loved them, then the harder you're going to cry. That just, it's not a thing. You know, we all show grief differently, and our bodies and our emotional releases are very different. It can be an indicator of avoiding instead of processing, for sure. You know, disclaimer, this is not mental health advice. But the thing about control is, by holding it in, you're actually losing some control, because that release might still happen. So a lot of times when people are trying not to process and release and cry and all of that, and they try to hold it back and swallow it down hard, the problem is any place at any time, all of a sudden something could trigger it, and it could just completely spill over at a real inconvenient time. So when we're talking about trying to maintain control, the exact opposite can actually happen, where instead of being able to be more in control and holding it in, you're actually making it so you're like right at that tipping point where it's not going to take a whole lot and you could just spill right over at any given time. So I'm currently going through some unrelated stuff to the loss of my husband. I'm kind of feeling like I lost a best friend of sorts. And it's as if that crack in my foundation, or crack in my heart from this current situation, is really giving an avenue for the other pain and losses to kind of seep out. If that can give you a sort of visual of, you know, how this can lead to other problems. So the undealt with past will still find its way to get out, is what I'm trying to get at, you know? And so then when you're upset about something else, like somebody says something to you that maybe triggers you or whatever, it might lead to like tears and this outpouring of emotion, or like rage and anger, because all this other stuff was in there. It's really not about what just happened. It's all the other stuff that was behind it. And then you could end up looking like, what is wrong with this person? Why are they responding in such a way where it's over the top for what's happening? It doesn't make any sense. But it's often because that other stuff was still in the background, you know? It might not have been right in the forefront where you could process it and deal with it. It might have been way in the depths of you, but it was just waiting for its opportunity, you know, for you to be able to open that heart just a little bit so it could find its way out. So staying busy and letting time just do the work and avoiding the heavy heart work, it's not a fix, you know? People love to just turn it over to God too, and universe, and just say things like, you know, your destiny, and say, well, if it's meant to be for me, it'll find me, you know, it'll find a way. But no, it won't. Not in your living room, not on your job site, not in your car. You know, let's get real for a second. You need to give God the opportunity to help you. You know, it's a kind of like begging to win the lottery and then not buying a ticket. Like, what the, right? Really think about that. It's like, I want this so bad, but how on earth are you going to get it? It doesn't make any sense. You're asking for something you can't receive. So, Yeah, in that way, I think, guys, you can't sit too passively in life and just say, well, you know, I'm leaving it to God now. I'm just whatever. If it was meant to be, it'll happen. It'll find its way. I've done that before. And trust me, it doesn't always find its way, even when it is meant for you. Because if you are just not taking an active participation and trying to, like, see where things go or, you know, step out of your comfort zone, it's not going to find you on your couch. That's what I'm saying. It's just, it's not. And you have to take some responsibility over it and not put it off onto higher power and say, well, it's just because, you know, if God wanted me to have it, it would have come together. But that's not true. It's not true. He's waiting for you to take some steps forward. And from there, he can lead you. But he can't lead you from your butt when you're sitting on it on the couch. You know what I mean? That sounds funny. But you know what I'm saying. Like, he can't. You got to give him something to work with here, you know? And then when you provide the motion by getting up and going, by trying to, you know, persist in an active forward motion towards the thing, he can guide you from there, you know? But if you're just anchoring yourself in your current situation and then putting it on his shoulders and saying, well, God will intervene if it's meant for me, he cannot physically pick you up off your couch and put you out into the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, he probably could, but that's not how it works. You gotta do your part in this. You know what I mean? So just a real quick sidestep here, because I want to talk about this eclipse a little bit, and I'll get back into this element of control and the eclipse as well, how they tie together. So we have a solar eclipse today, and I'm saying today all the while knowing that I'm recording this almost a week in advance, but I know on the day you listen, it will be happening. Very exciting. And, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people don't give enough credit to what's going on in the universe and how it affects us. But think about it this way. Like, NASA actually backs all of this, and the psychological effects are real. National Geographic backs it. You know, there's these energetic shifts that happen when things are happening, like an eclipse, that lead to things like heightened emotions and increased awareness of energy imbalances, disruptions in daily routines, technology glitches maybe sometimes. Like, I think, is it Mercury in retrograde today? Something like that. I don't know. I really don't pay that much attention to it, but when you think about it, I mean, this affects the tides. How can it not have a huge energetic effect over our bodies? It's something that is very valuable to pay attention to, because you can harness this power, right? The eclipse itself reminds you of your power. It's intense, full of raw emotions, incredibly healing and empowering. They bring on final endings. Encourage us to let go of emotions and attachments that are no longer serving us and evolve into something new. Like, all of these things are things that I have gotten off research that is backed by science. So this is pretty cool. And if you can find a way to work with these sort of celestial energies, if you want to call them that, it can have physical effects on the body. Things like feeling spacey or dizzy or cloudy, or also getting really high energy, tons of extra energy, these big bursts, or feeling inspired. All of these things can be brought back to the eclipse. And the rhythms are actually controlled by our pineal gland. So it can activate things inside people. People will say spiritual awakenings or increased intuition. You know, if you really get into spiritual practices, people talk about this collective ascension, and it depends how deep you want to go with it. But what I know for certainty is that this extra sensitivity to emotions and things can lead to big changes. And if you harness this the right way, especially when you're going through things like we were just talking about, of these control elements and holding so tightly, but needing to release energies, it's a great time to release, because especially with an eclipse, it's a lot about death and rebirth of something in your life. So if you can let go of the old things not serving you and then really embrace and harness these new, that's the rebirth part, like something new, fresh, exciting, it's the perfect time to do it, because it's almost like the universe is backing that energetic movement. So talk about feeling like you have the backing of the stars, right? Like there's no better feeling than trying to make a big shift in your life and actually having the pull of the universe behind you. And, you know, the tides really help me because I'm very scientific. Those of you that have followed me from season one know, if anything, season two has been a lot more spiritual and mindset based. I mean, season one was too, but mind, body, and spirit, I spoke a lot more about the science behind a lot of this stuff. And now I've moved more into believing that you've come along with me along this path and that you're open to more of this sort of spiritual notion of it all. But, you know, the part of me that is just rooted in science and data and all that, because I do love research. I love that the tides are such a great example of seeing it in a physical way on this planet. You cannot deny what happens with the tides. It's miraculous, really, but it's backed in science, and you can see what's going on with the moon, and you can see how it affects the planet. And if it can affect the physical like that, really just wrap your brain around energy and how easily that energy can be shifted. So that helps my science brain get to the place of understanding there's real power in this and a gift. Because if you think about it, if you can get change so much more easily during this time, like harness that energy, work with the planet instead of against it. You know what I mean? What's going on around us. And then you're not going to feel quite so stuck. You know, you're going to feel like you're able to transform and use this as a tool, basically. So anyway, I love that so much. Make sure you're safe. Have the glasses, all the things. Don't look at it. I think of my kids all the time because they're like, what? It doesn't hurt my eyes. I mean, physically feeling the pain is not the same thing as doing damage. You don't have to actually have physical pain to be causing damage. Remember that. So yeah, it's funny. The school is doing this like viewing party because we're in a place where we're not going to be 100% full exactly in New Hampshire where we're living. A little further north will be totally blacked out. I think it's probably a good thing we won't be in a complete blackout situation. But anyway, the options were to send your kids home on the bus where we cannot monitor your children or know whether or not they're being safe. Or you can have them stay here where we can make sure they keep their glasses on and, you know. So anyway, I have a live stream in my client-only Facebook group for paying customers that I do at 1 o'clock every Monday. And then I think the eclipse starts, or at least the viewing party that they're having, starts shortly after that. So I'm going to head over to the school with my kids and be able to watch this together. And I'm really excited about it. So by the time you hear this, it'll be that day. And yeah, I think it's going to be something that we should all take in if we get the opportunity. But this time I'm going at it different because I'm not going to just be thinking I'm looking at this beautiful, you know, sort of cool thing going on in the sky. I'm going to be feeling and like tapping into my body and seeing, what do I feel? Do I feel different today? How's my energy at? Like, what, you know, gauging all these things to see, what do I feel inside me as a difference that, you know, am I feeling really eager to reach out to an old friend? Am I, you know, what's happening inside? I'm really anxious to see, you know, how that all goes. So, I'll definitely report back next week. And for now, let's get back into this control piece, because it's a big issue, I guess, for many. Listen, losing somebody that is your life partner will definitely lead to an element of feeling completely spiraling out of control. Because it was ripped from you. I had no control in that. And I tried like crazy to grasp at any bit of control I could, you know, by making changes that I thought could help. And like, we were just desperately trying to gain control of the situation that was completely out of our control. And it ended with a loss that was completely out of my control and wouldn't have been the chosen path, you know? So nothing like something like that to leave you feeling like you're spinning, you know, and grasping for any element of stability. So yeah, it took me a minute to feel like I was able to sort of ground myself again and gain some element of control. And I think maybe initially you might go overboard if you're in this situation of like, wanting all the control around you because you don't want anything else to change. And that's why I think some people end up hoarding things and hanging on to every little thing that their person had. I'm very careful about that, by the way. If anything, I'm the other extreme because I don't want that. But yeah, it's easy to want to just not have changes happening around you because there's been enough, you know, it's enough change. I just want something to feel familiar. So often with loss or big traumas, I think that's why we get so stuck on control. But the thing about control that's really funny is we all want it because the lack of control can lead to hurt. It can lead to, you know, feeling like everything you didn't want to happen just happened, you know, because you didn't get to control the narrative and how it went. What's very interesting, though, about control is letting go of control is also when the best things in my life have ever happened, you know, falling in love, you know, that experience of, you know, childbirth and like all, who has control over any of those things? Nobody. And they're the most beautiful moments I've ever had, you know, when I released the control, or just a surprise, like a beautiful surprise. Now, I don't really like surprises. And again, it comes down to my element of control, but I love to give surprises to people always. Like my kids, I won't even let them see what's in their lunchbox for the day. And I get upset with them when they try to peek. I'm like, stop it. Or what's for dinner. And I'll make up from the time they were babies. I'd be like, oh, earthworm and like dirt salad or whatever. I would make up stuff. So eventually they just stopped asking or sometimes they just ask because they want to hear what hilarious thing I'm going to come up with that's going to be repulsive sounding. But I don't know what that is. I love, love surprising people. And I don't always love a surprise. Like as soon as somebody, so a dear friend of ours will always call and ask to speak with one of my kids. So I know she's up to something and she's sneaking around and planning something without me knowing it. And I can't stand it. It's like, I want to know. I'm not a good waiter. I have very little patience. I'm working on that in my life. But like, anyway, so my point is though, that always whenever I'm surprised, those have been some of my best moments in my life. I let go of the control. I didn't peek at Christmas time and I let the surprise happen Christmas morning when I opened the present. Every time it was worth the wait. That surprise, that lack of control made it so much more beautiful. And yet we avoid it like the plague because of the fear and the risk of what? Let down, disappointment. So listen, if I had never trusted myself, that's an interesting thing I just said. Well, if I had never fully released the control and allowed myself to fall in love, I would have missed out on every single great thing that's ever happened in my life. Like I had to release the control for that to happen. And by releasing the control, did I sign up for like potential heartache, like the worst heartbreak ever? Yes, I did. I was willing to look at that scale and say the potential benefit of falling in love with this person by far outweighs the risk of what could happen to my heart if they break it. You know, if they don't hold up their vows, if they don't treat me the way that, you know, that I want, you know, I could be heartbroken. I could be embarrassed. I could be whatever. And I had to say, you know what? I'll take it. I'll take that risk of that all happening. Because I know if I don't open up and lose control in this, then I'm never going to have all those amazingly positive experiences that I so badly want. So I released it. And always was it the best decision. Always, always, always. And so I've done some subconscious work on myself to remind myself that losing control, letting go of control, I'm highlighting all those things, those beautiful moments in my past that have come from that. And I am just taking any time that it just didn't go my way, I let go of control and something terrible happened. You can fade those things, guys. You can let that fade into the darkness and disappear. You can manipulate your subconscious mind in the sense of not changing its past experiences. I'm not lying to myself. I am just reminding myself of all the beauty that's come from it instead of focusing with that conscious brain, all my energy on the risk and what could go wrong and how it could go bad. I am reminding myself that I have seen in my own past, in my own history, with my own eyes, how many times it worked out so favorably. And I am going to highlight the heck out of that. So, quick break. This is the perfect timing for me to take a quick break and let you guys all know about what I am doing with hypnosis around this very topic. So I'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. So my hypnosis sessions are running and I currently have spaces available, but they are starting to fill up, which is very exciting. And I just wanted to let you guys know that if you are interested in doing any of that subconscious work, like I was discussing in today's episode around highlighting things that you want to put more emphasis on to help with the background noise in your mind that might be holding you back from getting the things you desire. And if you want to just sort of rebalance things and allow yourself to see the beauty in life. It's a really fun process. It's something that, believe it or not, around self-control, you don't have to lose control. I'm not going to be having anybody quacking like a duck or, not in control of yourself while you're under hypnosis. It's not like that. It is a whole new way of doing things compared to what you might have in the background of your brain with the old watch, and you're getting very sleepy type of stuff. It's not like that at all. It's very relaxing, and the transformation can be very immediate and long lasting. So if it's something that interests you and you want to find out more, I will drop a link in today's podcast description to my website where you can find out what I'm offering. And if there's a custom package that you want to come up with, we can do that as well. So guys, back to the show. So have you ever given control to someone else and then they make a decision and it doesn't line up with what you wanted and then you're just stuck with the consequence of it? I've had that happen recently, and you can't say to somebody like, do you want to go to Texas or California? You pick, and whatever you decide, I'm giving control to you. And then they say, yeah, let's do Texas. And your heart was set on California. And what do you do in those moments? You can't say I'm giving control to you, and then when you don't get the outcome that you want, feel like, disappointed or mad. You have to then just accept what you get. And that is not always an easy thing. Maybe there's a warning label with this that, really be aware when you do give away your control that now you have to be willing to accept whatever it is that happens next, and sometimes maybe like even in love, if you do that and you're basically, without saying flat out, I'm going to let you pick this or this, like it's not that straight out, it's more like I'm releasing control to like maybe even just giving your love to somebody and letting go of the control around, your freedom or whatever it is. But then you have to then be willing to know that it could go any which way. Now, you could have gotten into a relationship with somebody who is all about personal freedom and your life just enhances greatly. Or you could have just signed on with somebody who is like a super, super control freak and is now telling you what to do with every second of your day. You know what I mean? And that unknown, I think, is what scares people the most, because you don't know. You're about to take a leap of faith and you're just praying nothing changes from what you've been able to see and witness with your eyes up to that point. I don't know what this person's going to look like on the other side of, commitment or on the other side of marriage or whatever it is. You're just hoping that there's no big surprises. And that free fall is the most exhilarating and terrifying experience of anybody's life, I think, of, not just falling. Well, yeah, falling in love. I think falling in love is the scariest lack of control out there. But there's so many things like that, like deciding to make a move to a new location. I can tell you for me right now, that unknown is terrifying and exhilarating. Like, I love the idea. And I'm also pretty frozen in time in terms of actual steps. I'm making baby steps right now, but because it's what my heart can handle at the pace it can handle and the, allowing as much loss of control as possible without overwhelm. Because if you do it all too fast, it can feel like terror. It's true. But I think about like some of my friends whose kids are starting to learn to drive and stuff. There's that fear of, you know, you've been able to control the safety of getting them from point A to point B. And now all of a sudden, they're responsible and you have to trust that whatever you've taught them, they're going to follow through. They're not going to have their phone and be texting while they're driving, that they're going to slow down. They're going to pay attention. They're not going to be having, you know, the back seat full of friends when you told them to just go alone. All those things, it's so hard because especially in those moments, and I think these are maybe the most terrifying times to release control, more so than the love stuff, is when there's fear involved. Because, well, I mean, I guess there's fear involved with love for many as well. But I mean, like fear of loss of life, or like for me, like that fear of, for instance, my oldest son, I love him to death, but my goodness, like he is not, what's the word I'm looking for? Street smart. He's so book intelligent, but street smarts. My youngest one, and I think I might have said this on a podcast before, but like I could drop him in the center of Boston right now and he would be home by dark. Like he'd find his way back very easily. My oldest would still be like, I don't know, he'd probably end up further from home than he started. But there's just some common sense things that don't connect for him. And so for me, if I'm seeing him standing by a road and there's a car coming up and he's got his headset on or whatever, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he can't hear that car and I don't think he's gonna look before he crosses, the fear inside me, whoa, it overwhelms. And then I tend to try to take back my control. I tend to want to jump in and just be like, look out. Like, you know, I want to be like immediately jumping in to save him. And it comes from the place of fear. You know what I'm saying? The reason I get upset and angry with him a lot is because of a fear base for his safety and well-being and knowing that he can exist in this world without me. It's terrifying to me that without the safety net, what could happen to him? And so it's a hard release with these situations, because when you can foresee something that's about to go wrong and you're trying to still release that control, that it almost clashes with itself, right? It's a real hard struggle, because eventually, like, I have to let go. I have to let the consequence happen. Not like let a car mow him down, but, you know, I have to let him have that moment of, whoa, like I forgot to look. And then when that happens, something inside of him will click, and he's gonna, every time he goes to cross the road, that memory is in there, and like, oh, I gotta look, you know, he'll remember that. If I keep intervening and drawing his attention to it in advance, he's eye rolling at me and going, I know. Did he? And would he have stopped? Probably not. But, you know, it's almost like he doesn't think to look, because nothing bad ever happens. My mom's going to just like jump in if it is, you know what I mean? Like, there's just no way. And I've been trying to explain to him, because lately he's been sort of micromanaging my youngest. Very happy to tell him what to do, but very unaware of his own stuff. And I've tried to explain to him, this is a very similar situation to what I'm doing with you. And if you don't let him just learn the lesson on his own, get in trouble with mom because he's doing something he's not supposed to, if you keep jumping in and buffering him from that, he'll never learn. He will be a spoiled brat. We need to let him fall. You know, we need to let him screw up. We need to let him get a punishment from time to time. It's a hard thing to teach a 13-year-old. Like, let him hurt. I don't want him to hurt. He's my best friend. Like, I get it. I don't really want him to hurt either, but I do want him to learn, and I want him to grow, and I don't want him to be obnoxious or entitled or, you know, slob. Like, all of these things, they develop out of learning from experiences. You can't just take experiences you've already learned yourself and put them on others. You know, you have to let them learn, live and learn a little. So, yeah, it's been a tough one in our house, this letting go of control for all of us. And I do think that this major loss we've experienced has made all of us a little more controlling, or wanting to have more control, or, you know, not wanting to just release it and let things play out as they play out, because we've watched things play out as they play out. And we know that the outcome is not always our desired outcome. So when we just let life happen, you know, your body might have learned from past experiences, when you just let this happen, look how it can turn out. And now in the way of love, like, It can be a real terrifying thing to totally surrender to someone else when you might have had a bad relationship in the past that tainted things. And you might expect that if that happened before, it could be even worse this time. I'm not letting that happen again. You know, you think you're being smart and wise to protect yourself, but all you're protecting yourself from is the good experiences. You know, the bad things are possible, but they're not inevitable. You know, but allowing yourself to love somebody else, it's inevitable that good experiences will come. So, I don't know. I know a lot of very guarded people around different aspects of their lives. Some financially. Listen, I think I've told this story before, but I don't know. I have my own trust issues around finances in some ways. Like, how do I explain it? When I was younger, a good friend actually stole from us, and my brother and I, and it tainted the way I trust. I used to think like I could leave a wad of cash sitting in the middle of my kitchen and leave the room with friends in the room. They're friends. Of course, nobody's going to take it. I don't feel that way anymore because I was burned by feeling that way and leaving a wad of cash and having it taken, you know? So you learn from those things that just because you're trustworthy doesn't mean other people are necessarily trustworthy to the same extent that you could be trusted. You know, you think it's just a given that people love the way you love, that they are loyal the way you're loyal, and all these things. And it's not always an equal reciprocal balance on the scales, you know? And that's sad, and it's a hard lesson to learn. But the challenge that I want to give you today is to not let the past stuff tarnish your future, because the person was the problem. You know, your loving and trusting of them was not the problem. And I think a lot of times when those things happen, I mean, I know I did. I questioned myself. I felt like, oh gosh, I should have known better. And it was my brother and I's money, and he wasn't there, and it was my friends, well, his friends as well, but like I was the one there with the friends when it happened. So I think it painted something in my mind about like I was the problem, that I allowed this to happen. When in reality, that's not the problem. The problem was the people that were in the room who made this decision to burn a friend, to put money before friendship, to, you know, that was the problem. And going forward, I moved forward with, you screwed up, and in the future, you should not trust again to do something like that. It's just exposing yourself for the potential to be hurt again. That's not the message I should have walked away with. Now, should we all be a little guarded, a little protective? Sure. I mean, it doesn't hurt, you know? So maybe you put it in a drawer, but maybe you don't have to put it in a locked cabinet, in other words. Now, why can't the same be true of our hearts? You know, if you got your heart crushed, well, in this situation, my heart was broken. These were friends, you know? But if you've gotten your heart crushed before, does that mean that you need to lock it up in a lockbox and never let it out again? No. Does it mean that maybe you are more cautious with the way you enter into things? That maybe you really, I'm going to use my kid's word here, suss out that the person is trustworthy first? Sure. But does that mean you never open up fully to them? No. I mean, no. Once you know that they're a trustworthy person, do they still have the potential to prove you wrong and to end up not being as good as you thought they were? Of course. But does that mean that you don't ever fully open up? No. You know, do you know where I'm going with this? Like, you still have to be willing to expose yourself to getting that hurt or more hurt again. And every time you expose yourself, it's self-growth, right? Because you're learning that it's not all about you all the time. It's almost a selfish way to look at life, to think. You know what I mean? It's other people. They have responsibility over their actions and decisions. It's going to make them a bad person. It's not going to make you look stupid, in other words, right? Having friends take from me when I left it right there on the table, does that make me look stupid? No, it makes them look like a really crappy friend, really. It does not have any reflection over me. It really does not. I should be able to leave all of my jewelry, my money, everything out right there, like my checking account number, all of it right there and right in front of friends. And I should not have to have one fear. I should be able to do that and feel good about it because my circle of people would not do that to me. And I need to continue with that. It's not being naive. It's an element of trust and love that I'm showing to them. And the only way to get trust and love back is to be willing to open yourself up and give it to others. So I have to be able to show this vulnerability in order to receive a person who is willing to be trusted. You know, the only way I'm going to have people in my world that are trustworthy is by trusting. So, you know, if I stay guarded and I stay, unwilling to completely open up, I'm only going to be inviting people into my life who are closed off and not willing to fully open. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you, if you want an open and trusting relationship, you have to be an open and trusting person. So that's a really hard thing. That's how that mirror and reflection can really help guide you, you know? I just heard something recently about the mirror. And what did she say? It really hit for me. It was something like, if you look in the mirror and you see the person doing something, you know, wrong that they shouldn't be, do you tell them what to do and to change? No, you don't look at the reflection in the mirror and say, you know, stop doing that. You stop doing that, right? Because it's you doing it. The reflection is just the reflection of your actions. You don't tell your reflection what to do differently. That's like telling others how they need to be different. Telling those friends, don't take my money when I leave the room. That's ridiculous. What you need to do is you need to look at yourself and say, I'm willing to trust. I'm willing to, you know what I mean? Not even worry about this. Make an inward change. Instead of being highly skeptical and distrusting of everybody, make the inward change. And then from there, the people that will be surrounding you are going to be trustworthy individuals who are, and listen, you could look back at younger me who left that money on the table and left the room and say, well, she trusted and look what happened to her. But the reality is when I left the room, there must have been something inside me that questioned whether I should have done it or not. There had to have been a doubting portion of me. There had to have been something that was distrusting in that time and space that brought those people into my world to begin with, right? Like, I wouldn't have had those types of circles of friends if I didn't have some element of myself that was a little off at the time. So, you know, as an adult, as a grown woman, I know I've made excellent friend choices. My friends would lay their life down for me. They're not going to steal a $20 bill off my table, right? I mean, that's just a, you know what I'm saying? Like, these are people who are amazing. And so for me to continue to carry distrust, then I would never have met these people. These people would not have been brought into my world. I had to let it go first to get my circles right, to get my people around me right. And now I know I only attract high quality people in my world. I know this. And I'm able to really weed out and I can see it from a distance when somebody's not someone that's trustworthy. Now, do we all have moments where we could do something that's out of character? Of course we do. You know, so some person who's super trustworthy, who I love, does some out of pocket thing and steals my bank account number. Could that happen? Of course it could. That's the risk I have to be willing to take. You know, there's always a give and take. You have to be willing to say, yep, I could get screwed over. Yep, that could happen. That could go wrong. Yep, they could break my heart and stomp all over it. Yep, they could make me, you know, completely humiliated in front of all my friends and family. Yep, they, you know, I could literally fall flat on my face. I could. But in the absence of doing the thing, nothing good's coming. There's no exciting moments. There's nothing to look forward to. There's no, like, the whole fun in life is when you free fall, right? I mean, jump off the bridge with the bungee cord attached and just know, like, could it go wrong? Of course it could. But, like, I mean, the risk of just not even having this fun moment, to me, it's a no-brainer. And disclaimer, don't go jumping off things and saying that my podcast host said to do it. That's not what I'm saying. No, but in all seriousness, guys, I'm not saying take major life risks, leaving your finances exposed and, you know, jumping off cliffs. But I am saying take some chances in life. Take a few moments of releasing control and feeling how free you feel when you release control. I love freedom so much. I don't like feeling tied to anything. I don't like feeling restricted, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, and I don't want anybody else around me feeling that way either. You know, so that's why I don't try to keep my thumb on my kids every second. You know, I let them go play in the neighborhood. I don't tell them they have to stay in our backyard. You know, that's why in a relationship, I'm very willing to let somebody just, you know, I just trust. Maybe I trust to my own, you know, loss at times, but I just want them to feel free and happy and to come and go as well. Like, I just feel like freedom is so important to all of us, that feeling of just ease and like letting things play out as they play out. And that comes from lack of control. It comes from completely letting go and letting the things happen as they're gonna happen. And if everything is controlled, it's pretty boring, right? You always know what to expect. You always know what's coming up next. And that's predictable, sure. Is that how you wanna live? Okay. If you want predictability, then that's for you. And I like predictability as far as like, you know, I'm not somebody, I have a 401k. I like predictability. I like knowing that, you know, there's security and there's all these things, but the fun, the play, the element, the best parts of my life have come from the lack of control, from the full release of just like, you know, those moments where you let go scream off a cliff top, you know what I'm talking about? That just feeling of letting things out feels good. And that's letting go of control. But it feels good because it's what we're meant to be. It's how we're meant to live, you know? Otherwise, even God gives us commandments, but do you think he's down here with his thumb on us, forcing us to do it? No, he gave us free will, right? Freedom. It's all about lack of control and freedom. There's no control. There's nothing telling you what you have to do. It's all about what are you willing to risk? What are you willing to like let go of and just see how it goes? Roll the dice, right? Just roll the dice. So many people have great aspirations in their life, and they just never get to it because there's so much lack of control and feeling like they're spiraling out of control, and they're just unwilling to let that happen. But then almost always on deathbeds, if you've ever read On Death and Dying, is that what it is, by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross? I think that is. Wow. I might've just come up with that on the spot. And she talks about, is that the book? I think it is, where she talks about, no, that's not the book. She did The Stages of Grief. Well, anyway, there is a book about people on their deathbeds and what their final regrets are. And it's in an earlier episode of mine where I give credit to that, to who it deserves it. But basically the idea being that most people in the very end regret not taking more chances, releasing that control. If you look at what the list was, it was all about, I wish I had done more of those things, you know? No bucket list, just do the things, release the control, all of that. And I think you're going to find that all the stuff you were afraid of, I mean, because anything that comes from fear, anything that's rooted in fear, can't come to be the best outcome for you, right? Only those high vibrational things. That's when you know it's aligned, and freedom is definitely top of scale, peace of mind and all that. But none of the stuff that comes from that lower vibration of fear will ever result in something beautiful. So releasing it and letting go of the control, you know? So anyway, guys, I appreciate you so much coming and listening this week. I hope you come back again later. Stitch just came in to say hello to everybody. He didn't want the whole episode to go without him being noticed. And just in the lyrics of Blake Shelton, P.S. If this is Hilo, I still love you. If you know, you know. All right, guys, I'll see you next week.